Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone. We're here tonight live. Thank you for being with us. It is another Life Prophetic Talk Show where we actually do it. We're going to talk about it. That's for sure. We minister to people all the time, as much as we can. Do a lot of talking, a lot of yakking, a lot of prophesying, teaching, revelating, all kinds of things. Got all kinds of things here on the PGN Network. We have Monday night, we got Jeannie from Texas. Tuesdays, we got Deborah. She's on every Tuesday, and then we have Terrence and Tanisha on Wednesdays, like tonight, and Fridays, the Shine, Saturdays, Carmen, Sundays, just depends, Felicia or my friend Angela Joy, all my friends are on, and they're to minister to you anytime. We try to keep it going on. That's about 7 days a week. At least we have a little bit of that going on. Thank God for that. So we feel blessed and honored to serve you and serve God for sure. All right? Really a blessing. Wednesday night, we're going to prophesy to every person who calls in, who can stay on long enough, who can listen long enough, keep your ear to that phone, or at least keep us on speakerphone with your ears, call your name, and tell us your first name, what state you're from. That's all I want to know, even if I've known you for 20 years. If you could do that, that would be great. All right? So, awesome. I got a couple of things to hear. I'll be right there when we get going here and see what's going on. Yeah. All right. So if you need ministry tonight, we're here to do that. If you can stay on with us long enough, we will be there. So, yeah, get a hold of that. All right, welcome to the place tonight, and we are really glad to be with you, and thank God for PGN, thank God for the system that we have here to freely minister, prophesy, speak to people, talk to people personally, and like every Wednesday, we prophesy to every person who calls in, anywhere from 20 to 40 people, sometimes more, it just depends on what's going on. Every Wednesday night, you know, Thursdays, that's the same thing. Pray over offerings, people give during the week, and on Thursdays, and we pray over those, prophesy over those. Something really cool and unique about prophesying over finances. I don't know what it is. It's just every minister will tell you if they do it sincerely, it's something really cool. And Blaine, you can be a part of that if you want. All right. But every Wednesday we prophesy to everybody. We don't care where you're from, where you're from New York, the UK, Germany, England, wherever you're from, it doesn't matter. We're going to minister to you, want to pray for you, and want to be a blessing to you. All right, let's see what we're going to get into tonight a little bit here. Then that's a little bit different. You never know what we're going to be getting into. I have a lot of things I want to share. I got little nuggets I want to share with you, too. I got a scripture here that, you know, we did this message not long ago about how the Jews were the only ones who could truly crucify the Lord according to God. God would only allow a Jew, you know, the Levitical priesthood, if you will, to kill him. And they actually used the word kill when they killed the lamb. You look at the under the law when they talk about how what they did to the lambs, they killed them. What it says, they use the word killed or slaughter, whichever word you choose to use. That's the words that they use, killed or slaughtered. And so so we talked about how the Jews actually killed Jesus, even though they, a lot of the, you know, a lot of Jews didn't, of course. But the leaders, the main, the leader, and a lot of people wanted him to be crucified. So they set it up, and they threatened with a riot. And, of course, you know, Pilate gave them what they wanted. Rome gave them what they wanted. But they asked for it. Pilate was wanting to set him free, and they chose. He told them, he's innocent. He's done nothing wrong. And they said, still crucify him. So people had a problem with that. Some of you texted me after that and had a little bit of a problem with it. I just wanted to let you know that Paul the Apostle in 1 Thessalonians 2:14 also said the Jews killed him. Once you look at this, this is pretty amazing. It says, for you, brethren, became imitators of the assembly of God, which are in Christ Jesus, but also suffered from your countrymen, even as they did from the Jews, who killed, watch this, this is the word that Paul the Apostle used in 1 Thessalonians 2:15. Paul says, the Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and drove us out and didn't please God and are contrary to all men. Yeah, so right there, Matthew 23, Jesus said to the Jews, he said, you killed the prophets. You know, so, you know, it's their religious zeal. And if they believe something, they did it, right? So if it wasn't for the Jews killing Jesus, and they were the only ones who legally could do it, we wouldn't have a Savior. So you got to quit looking at it like unbiblical. We got to get a hold of a biblical understanding of what went on with that and understand that that was God's design, and he blinded them. They were blinded. That's why in the end time they're going to be saved, because he's going to unblind them, you know, all of them. And it's going to be really cool. And they paid a great price for what they did, as far as, you know, they were blinded. They did what God wanted them to do. And we have a Savior. You can't just say it any plainer than that, right? It's just totally just plain. Very, very plain. All right, so that's enough on that. I just kind of want to talk about that for a minute. Also, we had, I'm documenting these things a little bit here as we go. Also, I had a word that I talked about a while back. I'm trying to look up the information on that right here quick. Where'd that go? I have it right here. Okay, here it is right here. All right, about 8 weeks ago or so, you guys remember I told you about this. I want to tell you about a word that came to pass. It's starting to come to pass. And I want to connect the two here on the show. And like I say, document it again. So 8 weeks ago, you guys remember telling me, I told you how the Holy Spirit came to me in the night, woke me up and started preaching to me early in the morning, right? And he said, keep prophesying about the merchandising message. Don't give up on it. In other words, you know, keep being strong. Don't just talk about it a little bit. Keep doing what I'm telling you to do, right, which is very aggressive against it. And he's preaching to me. First time he's preached to me in a little while. Keep prophesying. Keep speaking about the merchandising message, how God doesn't like it, because something is fixing to happen soon. Remember me telling you about that? All right, we have the beginning of fulfillment here in a major way. 3 weeks later, he told me it's soon going to be dealt with. The merchandising run. 3 weeks later, Biden's administration, remember we told you that Biden was going to be the one that's going to basically bring judgment upon the merchandisers? Remember that? We said there's three layers, like with Nebuchadnezzar. First layer was COVID, second COVID. Started dealing with the financials of the church. People blamed the devil, and I told you it was God was dealing with the church and their money realm. Didn't repent, didn't stop, became more blatant, said, we will do it more, made fun, many of them. And then, so the Holy Spirit, so he knows how I love to preach positive messages. I'm more of a positive message preacher. And being a prophet, you have to give the word of the Lord, which sometimes appears to be very negative. And that's why I didn't want to be a prophet, actually. We talked about that before. All right. So, okay, so I get, about 8 weeks ago, he preached to me, woke me up, preaching to me like a wild man, if you will, keep prophesying about the merchandising realm because something is about to happen soon. I'm going, okay. So I talked about that, remember? And 3 weeks later, I don't know the exact day, but 3 weeks later or so, Biden's new law, the Inflation Reduction Act on August the 16th, 2022, now weaving the whip to deal with the merchandising spirit in the temple and the church. That's what's about to happen. Lance Wallnau confirmed it on Joni's show last night or night before last. He said that just like I told you already, that because the merchandisers, because they're nonprofit, they can't sell anything, right? Legally, they can't sell it. They're nonprofit corporations, right? So they tell you they're giving it to you, but you can't get it until they get their money, which is really just selling. So, you know, they're going to do some things. That's they're going to turn that on them and tell them you're selling. The tax thing, this whole thing about the Inflation Reduction Act is about taxing those people who are not paying taxes. Well, you know as well as I do, for years we've talked about this. People have talked about this. Many people have talked about this, about how the tax, they're going to come against the church and in taxation and take away and really deal harshly with the church. Well, to me, as you guys know, I prophesied this 2-3 years ago that Biden was going to be the one who is going to bring the final blow to the merchandising realm, which is going to happen in this new Inflation Reduction Act. August the 16th was passed. He signed it August 16th, 2022, just a few weeks ago. And now what I'm calling Biden administration, the Lord is beginning to weave the whip. Jesus made a whip to deal with the merchandising spirit in the temple, in the church. You know, that's the third layer of this dealing with this thing, which he told you that's what Nebuchadnezzar did when God told Israel to repent over and over and over again, many times. They didn't do it. They thumbed their nose up at him, you know, threatened to kill him, all that kind of thing. Fun things prophets go through. And Nebuchadnezzar came. And then the prophet, Jeremiah, told him, he said, if you fight this, you'll be killed. If you try to stop Nebuchadnezzar from coming in, because God has opened up the door. That's exactly what's happening with Biden administration. They come in, the third layer of this, COVID phase one was the first part of it, where churches couldn't even get together and meet, and, you know, the money and the offerings, and not with everybody, but most of the church had some real problems, lots of them. Lance Wallnau, it's not just me saying this, Lance Wallnau confirmed this very thing two nights ago as I watched him on Daystar. The very thing I'm telling you, the Inflation Reduction Act. Yeah, so there you go. I'm just kind of trying to get that out there. So we're going to kind of keep up with that a little bit. That's already into action, and it will be put into action. You know, they're hiring what they say, I think, Lance said the 87,000 or 80,000, 84,000, 83,000 new IRS people. Yeah, he said that. You know, so this is not me just saying this. I mean, we've been prophesying it for a while and told you Biden was going to be the one that did it. That we've talked about for 2 years or so. And now we're starting to see that literally, and even confirmed by others who kind of know what's going on, that is about to happen, literally, through Biden administration. As we said specifically, all right, the Lord did, because I don't know anything, right? Keep that. All right, praise God. So we're getting those things out there. Amen. All right, what else we want to kind of get documented out tonight? Yeah, here's one of the things we're going to also deal with to prepare you for the whole thing about protection, right? Most of us are into Psalms 91, that God's going to protect us, 1,000 going to fall at your side, 10,000 to right hand, but it will not come nigh thy dwelling, right? We pretty well know those scriptures. I think everybody pretty well knows those. Whether they're sold out to Jesus or not, this is kind of their favorite one. Even Satan used it. It must have been Satan's favorite because he used it on Jesus, Psalms 91, when he tempted him in the wilderness and said, you know, the angels are going to protect you, you know. It's just Psalms 91. Yeah, so it's not just ours. It's also the devil. As if he misconstrued the whole thing. Right, so I want you to watch this and pay close attention if you would, because this is something we're going to need to arm ourselves and be aware of, so we don't be caught off guard, right? We're of the light. We're not of the darkness. We're not in the darkness like many Christians are. We're in the light. What's the light? It's the prophetic word. It's the word of the Lord speaking, bringing light. Even God using somebody with the name Chandler, which represents the name Chandelier, using somebody that's a chandelier to you know, bring light as God does it by the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to bring light on something here. I would like you to listen to this. Okay, so one of the things that caused the disciples to fall away when Christ, remember when they came and got Jesus at the Garden of Gethsemane? Because Judas had just betrayed him, and they found him. They were not able to find him before, so they got one of the inner circle. Because Jesus, everybody knew this. I mean, every time they would try to throw him off a cliff, he would be protected. Remember that? Protected. He was protected. Many, many, many times they tried to kill him. And probably a lot more than we get told in Scripture. They tried to kill him a lot. Back in those days, you know, under the law, if you broke the law, if you blasphemed, if they had the right crowd there, the legal crowd, people in the crowd that were legally, you know, able to witness that you blasphemed, they could take you out and stone you. I mean, it's just a thing. Oh, yeah, so-and-so got stoned yesterday. Really? What happened? Well, they caught her, you know, caught him blaspheming. It was like kind of a thing that went on. And it was from the law of Moses, right? It wasn't just some bunch of mean people. All the mean people took advantage of it at the time. It was the law of Moses. So Jesus got protection from that. He was not under the curse of the law, of course. He fulfilled the law. Of course, he fulfilled that too. But so now listen to this. We're talking about protection. I'm fixing to go somewhere with this. We're talking about protection, major protection. So who was protected? The Holy Spirit protected him over and over and over again until the time when Jesus at Gethsemane said, Father, you know, if this cup can't pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, which God's will was for him to be crucified, which meant that the Holy Spirit was going to have to remove his protection from him. Now, some of you need to be protected. If you're walking in God's will like Jesus was, you have to be walking in the will. You can't just be, say you're a Christian and do whatever you want, right? You got to be walking. The will of God is your protection. The will of God is your meat. It's your substance. It's how you get fed. It's how you get protected. It's how you get watched over. It's how you, you know, that it's your Psalms 91 in essence. It's not just being a Christian. So we gotta wake up to this pretty soon. We think just being a Christian, we can do whatever we want, whatever we want, however we want, and we're somehow going to be protected by God. Well, if you're completely outside the will of God and just doing your own thing, which a lot of people are, they're going to cast out devils and prophesy. And he says, get away from me, I never knew you. So you're going to have some spiritual people being outside the will of God. A lot of spiritual people are going to be outside the will of God, doing their own thing. Sad as it is. So guess what? They will not be protected. They will not be protected. But Jesus was protected. Why? Because he walked in the will of the Father. I only do what I see my Father do. And because of that, he was always protected until the time came. Everybody say this with me. Until the time came. Can you say that? I want you to get this in your spirit. Until the time came. John the Baptist was protected, too, until the time came. Then he got his head chopped off. A lot of people were protected until the time came. The two witnesses in the future says they are protected. Fire came out of their mouth and destroyed those. In other words, protection came from God, fire out of their mouth, and whatever way God did it, they were protected until they got through with their ministry. Their prophesying was over after 3.5 years. Then they were allowed to be killed by, look like, the beast, the Antichrist. Right? So there is a time you will be protected. God will protect you. You're walking in his will. But if you are blessed enough to fulfill God's will before you get old or before it's time for you to die physically and, like, basically 90, 80, 90 years old, 75, 80, whatever it would be. And you finish doing the will of God at 30, 31, 32, like John did, John the Baptist. The two witnesses, I don't know how they were, they're really old. If it's Moses and Elijah, if that's who it is, then, so once they finished the purpose of God, they were taken, right? Enoch was taken by rapture. Elijah was taken by rapture. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And it wasn't because he was running from a battle or running from the Antichrist. He'd already fought all the battles and took down, called down fire from God and totally disgraced Jezebel and Ahab. We get rid of this cowardice thing, the fear, basically fear, that most preachers are preaching about this. If we're going to get delivered of fear, it's going to be awesome. Because a lot of you are living under fear right now. Most people live under fear to a certain degree. Some live under it because of doctrine. Your doctrine's allowing fear to come inside you. So we need to ask God to help us get that right. All right, so here we're talking about protection. Get ready. I'm going to give you this download. All right, so now concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5 through 12. You can look at the whole thing. This is talking about the end times. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, we ask you, brothers, not to be easily disconcerted or alarmed by any spirit or message or letter seeming to be from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for it will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is. The Lord Jesus is not even going to come at all. He's not going to come. There's not two or three comings. The second coming, that's it. There's not three or four. Let no one deceive you in any way, for it will not come until the rebellion, the coming of the Lord, will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness, which we're starting to see more and more, the son of destruction is revealed. He will oppose and exalt himself above every so-called god or object of worship. So he will seat himself in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. But don't you remember that when I was with you, I told you? And you know what is now restraining him so that he may be revealed at the proper time, the Antichrist. So the Antichrist, you know what is restraining him, the Antichrist, right? So that he may be revealed in the proper time. For the mystery of the lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now restrains the Antichrist, it will continue until he is taken out of the way. Well, who's he? It's the Holy Spirit. But what does taken out of the way mean? Now, the Antichrist can't be revealed until the Holy Spirit removes his protection from him. In other words, he doesn't let it happen until the time, right? Then the Holy Spirit is removed from off that situation and those people, and they are able to be successful. Only God allowed them to be successful because of the purpose of it all. It's like they were allowed to be successful in taking Jesus down. It said the Jews killed Jesus. Paul the Apostle said the Jews did it. And they're the only ones that could. Thank God we have a Savior now because of them. But it says that until the right time, you remember that I told you these things, that while I was with you, that you not know what is now restraining the Antichrist, so that he may be revealed in the proper time, in the proper time. So with Jesus could not be revealed, or exposed to the Antichrist Jews, if you will, in that case, they crucified him. They tried to get him many times. He was protected all the way through until at the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, bring it on. Let Judas come and get me. Let Judas come and get me and bring them to me. Let it happen. So as soon as Jesus agreed, listen to this, to show you the love of the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Father would have never removed that protection had Jesus not agreed to it. Isn't that beautiful? He would have never allowed
that the restrainer to be removed. They were restrained from getting him. God protected him until Jesus himself said, okay, I'm ready to die. Let them break through. So the Holy Spirit withdrew his restraining power from them. Now they were able to come and get him for the first time ever. And this is what shocked the disciples more than anything. I'm going to talk about something right now. I want you to listen as closely as you can. One reason that Peter denied the Lord, one of them is because Jesus had been protected all this time, and all of a sudden the protection was gone. So what did Peter do? He said, man, we must be deceived. They came and got him. Now they overpowered him. Why? Because the protection was removed from him. Because Jesus said, let it be done, Father. And the Father said, okay, Holy Spirit, no more restraining. Let it be revealed. Let it be revealed. Let it come forth. Let the Antichrist, just like this can happen with the two witnesses, let the Antichrist, you know, spirit through the Jewish people at that time, just temporarily, the priest had to come, offer him up the lamb. They were the only ones that were able to do it legally before God. The Sanhedrin and Caiaphas even prophesied. The high priest prophesied. The high priest was the only one that was able to take the blood into the Holy of Holies. That's what he was saying. He said, you know, let him be crucified. Let him die for the people. He was the high priest of that year, meaning we're going to take the blood into the Holy of Holies, and the veil's going to be rent. They didn't know that, but the veil was going to be rent. That was going to be the end of that. Then a whole new thing began, right? So as we look at Scripture and we look at it very plainly, we see that so it will be with the Antichrist. The Antichrist is, even though I know his name, he's not even out there. He's not even showing up anywhere yet because he's hidden. That's why I keep telling you guys that the Antichrist is hidden to the world. The prophets may know, but he's hidden until the time comes, very soon, within a few short years. He will be revealed. And those of you, when I tell you his name, which some of you already know his name, which we kind of have a, you know, thing on that, and then when I tell you guys, whenever God lets me do it, so everybody will know, it's going to spread. It's going to spread everywhere. That's why I got to be careful what I do. So I have to be really careful. All right. So when we reveal it, then when it's actually him, you're going to go, wow, God did know. So you're going to be a privileged bunch that knew already. I've known for several years now. God wrote it out before me after he gave me a vision of the Antichrist and the whole thing. You know, I didn't want to hear all this stuff, see all this stuff. But it was a privilege that God showed it to me, and I feel honored. But the whole point is that when people are not protected, they're going to be denying the Lord right and left because they're going to find themselves, they just think because they're Christians, that they're going to be protected, and they will not. Now, some people are going to be martyrs, called by God to be martyrs. See, we don't even have that in our thinking a lot for the body of Christ. We listen to the pre-tribulation rapture preachers who make you feel like a second-class citizen if you're, don't be here for the great tribulation, man, because if you do, you're going to get your head cut off. That, or you're going to starve to death trying to get you, because you have to take the mark to eat, which is all not true. I mean, as far as we're going to have food, we're going to be supplied for because God's our supply. How can these people say this stuff? You know how I feel about it. Okay, I'm not going to go there. God can't supply during a hard time. No way. That's what they're saying. God, oh no, it's not God's will to feed, although it says right there that the wilderness woman's going to be taken care of, the 144,000 going to be taken care of, the two witnesses going to be taken care of. Revelation 7 said there's so many people in the Great Tribulation come through it. The Great Tribulation, it says, that you can't even number them. There's so many of them. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. So when you put all that together, then you listen to these guys, you're going like, these guys are like, what is wrong with them? That's exactly right. What is wrong with them in this? So anyway, I'm going to go. But so you see what I'm saying there, friend. The reason Peter denied the Lord, one of the reasons is, a couple of different reasons mixed together. Number one, they didn't believe that he was going to die. They thought the Messiah was going to rule from the throne of David, that he would never die. That was what that was preached from the Jews all over the place. That was just a tradition thing. Plus, it was in the Bible, but it was misinterpreted, right? Because it was for the future that he would reign on the throne of David, which when his second coming, he will rule from the throne of David. But they took it as back then, just like a lot of people now do these days, and they misunderstand Scripture, and therefore they have some things going on before they actually go on. Therefore, they believe wrong, and then they get deceived, and then they fall away. They fell away because of that. That was one of the reasons that Peter fell away, because Jesus, he even told Jesus, you're not going to die. You're going to rule on the throne of David. And then plus the fact when he wasn't protected, see, that's the thing. When you're not protected, you start going, wow, I guess, you know, I'm not protected, man. I got all these things coming against me. Why? Because I must not be born again. It has nothing to do with not being born again. It has more to do with not being in the will of God. And there's a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So any three of those things, you're protected. The perfect will of God is perfect protection, because it's the perfect will of God, 100-fold, right? But there's protection in the good and acceptable. Thank God for that, because most people are in the good and acceptable. Very few are in the perfect will of God. So that's just kind of the way it is right now. So there's protection for those, but outside that, you can have a lot of Christians who are not in the good, acceptable, perfect will of God, and they're outside of that. So they're going to find themselves not being protected. And when Peter saw that Jesus was no longer protected, and then they were coming after him, boom, boom, boom. The timing was, it was a perfect storm. All of a sudden he's going like, okay, they're fixing to crucify him, so we don't believe that. So even though he told me he was the Messiah, God told me he was the Messiah, oh no, what's happening? And then when he wasn't protected, right, David was always protected. He went into battle like a wild man, was always protected, never got even wounded, I think. I mean, he was highly protected by the Lord. So the same thing with the Messiah. So when he wasn't protected anymore, especially after they crucified him, then they all freaked out. Right? Because now he's not just not protected, he's now dead. Death to the Jewish people for breaking their laws was a common thing. They would stone you if they had the right people there and they could prove, they had witnesses, proof that you broke the law somehow. They would just stone people. There were stones everywhere. They would stone them. It's crazy. So anyway, there you go. So what we're trying to say to you tonight, friend, is that, you're not going to be, if you're in the will of God, good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, if you're in one of those three, you're pretty good shape, right? Now, if you're chosen to be a martyr, you're going to be a martyr. Mostly leadership, and, there's going to be others too. But I just want to tell you, am I going to lie to you and falsely comfort you? You could be one of those. So if you are afraid or ashamed of Jesus to die for him like Peter was at that moment, why? Is it because you didn't get protected? No. Is it because some doctrine you believe, like pre-tribulation rapture, didn't happen, and you're going to fall away because of that? So there's many different reasons why people are going to fall away. And then even those who are protected, when they fulfill the will of God, they're either going to be, they'll be taken out one way or the other. That's what happens when you finish the will of God. What's the use in being here? Right, so you may get killed for that reason, like John the Baptist did, purely the glory of God on his life, all the way through, till his death. He's a martyr for Jesus, and it was highly honored. Not like these pre-trib people, like it's some shameful thing. Highly honored to be a martyr. A lot of martyrs in the Bible, they're highly honored people, but most people are not going to be dying. not going to happen. No, it's going to be nurtured, taken care of, just like the Bible says, even about the Great Tribulation. God's going to take care of the woman in the wilderness, the 144,000, the two witnesses are going to be fed for 3.5 years, and you know, maybe more than that. But the last 3.5 are going to be major, intense. And then when they die, then the second coming comes. Yeah, shortly after that, real shortly after that. All right, so get in the will of God. If you're not in the will of God, friend, find out what the will of God is. Ask God. You know, you don't have to have special divine revelation from somebody. Just keep asking God and sincerely seek Him, and you'll find yourself in the will of God. Even if you don't know it, you'll be in the will of God, not even knowing you're in the will of God. Why? Because your heart is pure. You're letting God deal with you. You're letting God change you. And, you know, so that's really good. All right? So, amen. All right. All right. It's not loud today. I was just asking today, out loud today, do good guys finish last? I guess some of them do. Yeah. So anyway, there you go. And we're going to take our callers tonight and begin to prophesy and pray over you. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. I'll give you scripture, you know, about the Antichrist being revealed. The same thing. It's very obvious that Christ was protected, right, until the restrainer, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit kept him from being killed. They tried to kill him often. See, this is so simple to me. I don't know why anybody could miss this. When you see it, you're going like, duh, how can they say this? You know, the Holy Spirit has to be removed from the earth. That's what they say. They say the Holy Spirit has to be removed from the earth and the church removed from the earth. Before, you know, like God can't just do something in one little corner of a city or a town or a people or whatever, which is Jesus or the Antichrist. Like, he can't just do it by, he has to totally get out of the way, like leave. Like, how foolish is that thinking? I mean, it's just totally unbiblical all the way around. All right. All right. Here we go. I think we pretty well got it. I think that's pretty well it for tonight. We're trying to cover a lot of bases. I try to get a lot of things done because we document things here on the show. So I can tell you guys, you know, kind of what's going on. All right. Just remember 1 Thessalonians 2:14, if you get that scripture, which Paul the Apostle said, 2:15 says that the Jews who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets drove us out, Paul said, you know, persecuted Paul even. I mean, so it's just kind of a thing because they're blinded. God blinded them. That's why they do it. Not because they're evil, because they're blinded, right? When people are blinded, they do, quote, evil things because they're blind. The Jews are not bad, evil people. They are God's people. They were just blinded, and God blinded them. And one of these days, God's going to take the blinders off and save them. And give them, you know, some, they're going to have salvation and be like the rest of us, born again, right? Because the price that they pay for being God's people, God's going to bless them. It's going to be a beautiful thing. All right. Also, one last thing I want to document this before I take my college. It's a really short thing here. I had a dream about September this month, the 2nd or 3rd, I don't remember what day it was exactly, September the 2nd or 3rd, about nations were grouping together. I saw in the spirit nations grouping together. It's the only way I can describe it. I can't even describe the thing yet because I don't understand it, but I saw a nation. I've never had a thing about nations before. I mean, it specifically given me a word about nations. It's showing me things about nations. I saw all the different nations, and they were grouped together in different groups, some smaller groups, some bigger groups, but they were grouping together. And so we're going to find out what that means. God revealed it to me, like I said, just a few days ago. So remember that. Also remember the word about the third layer of judgment coming to the merchandisers. God told me it's fixing to come. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, they announced, to my shock, I didn't really put that together until a couple of days ago, that that's fulfillment of that word, or the beginning of it. It's showing that they're about to do it. They're about to bring judgment on the merchandisers. You know, and it'll affect other people too, but the people who are not merchandising will come out of it. But the merchandisers will be dealt with heavily because they've been warned by God and they kept selling the gospel of Jesus Christ when they're supposed to give it away, not sell it, right? Sell the revelation of Jesus. Not supposed to do that. They're supposed to give it away. Because of that, they will be judged severely. And those who will, other people will be dealt with too that aren't, but they will be successful. They will come through it successfully. Right? Your success in coming through hard times is your obedience to God. All right? Got to remember that. Okay. Awesome. Good to be with you tonight. Thank you for being with us. We're going to take our callers now and see what's going on. So let's get ready for that. I'm going to go from caller to caller. We don't do much talk on Wednesday nights. We do a lot of prophesying. We just prophesy from one caller to the next. So let's get ready for that. I'm going to call up the numbers. Okay. All right, my first caller tonight is 202. My second caller is 662. Third is 972. 325 after that. 478 after that. 111 after that. 240 after that. 612 after that. 402, 650 after that. 903 after that. 903, 261. All right. 804, 549 after that. 803, 991 after that. 769, 220 after that. 863, 808 after that, 509, 492 after that, 863, 944 after that, 863, 268 after that, all right, 901 after that. No, 901 doesn't have their hand up. 901, you do not have your hand up. 8903, 253, you don't have your hand up. 608, you don't have your hand up. 912, you don't have your hand up. All right, let's start prophesying to people, and I'm going to call your first name. I will ask for your first name and what state you're from. You'll tell me your first name and your state, and then I will mute you and prophesy over you. Unless you have a real quick emergency, I mean, not emergency, a real quick prayer request, right, real quick, and then we will keep on prophesying. All right, so our first caller here, 202-722, I'm going to talk to you from, please.
Hey, Randy, this is Daryl Paul from Maryland and Nicole from D.C.
All right, good to have you guys. All right, thank you. Thanks for being with us. All right. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul and Nicole. Thank you, Lord, for Daryl Paul. God, I thank you a lot, God, that you, you know, find his heart to be softening in areas. Sometimes, you know, I'm really tough about things in my heart because maybe I've been wounded, maybe I'm protecting myself from whatever. So I won't, you know, feel like I've been taken advantage of by people, by whatever at times. And I see you really finding yourself not being threatened by people, by things, by intimidation, you know, situations. and your heart becoming, letting God protect your heart, in other words, instead of you having to protect it. That's how we harden our heart. That's how I harden my heart. If I, you know, I say harden, I don't mean that in a real negative way. I mean, it's just kind of a comment. It's just a thing that happens. We harden our heart quiet to protect ourselves against, you know, intimidating things, just stuff. And so once you enter into a place, Daryl Paul, where you're trusting God more and more and more, then you let God protect you, right? And you don't fear, you don't have that thing of, you know, being taken advantage of. I mean, because we do have to protect ourselves, right? We have to be protected one way or the other. That's kind of the word tonight about being protected. So God does protect us. So it's learning how to let him protect us where we don't have to protect ourselves, that our heart becomes softened and yet more protected because now God is protecting us and we're not protecting ourselves. We lay down our protecting ourselves. And it's not that we don't get protected, but we let God protect us. And because if we protect ourselves, God will say, well, if you want to protect yourself, you can. I'm not going to make you let me protect you, but if you want me to protect you, you know, you're going to have to let me do it. And that's just, God's always dealing with me about that, bro, one way or the other. I mean, you know, all kinds of things hit, you know, us. You know, people trying to do things and do what's right and all that. It's all kinds of things slapping at you and coming at you. And the more I let God protect me and put down my weapons, so to speak, to protect myself, you know, the more I find myself, my heart becomes softened. But yet I'm still even more protected because God is doing it. He does a much better job than I do. All right? Amen. So that's really good. So God, soften your heart toward those things and find yourself having more. Your faith is becoming stronger in God and his protection over you, emotionally, mentally, physically, and every way, financially. Yeah. Amen. And trusting God to speak to you when you're under attack and how to do it God's way. All right. All right. Nicole from D.C. Thank you, Nicole. I still say D.C., but thank you, Lord, for Nicole, for the brightness of the day, the brightness of the day. God, I thank you for the brightness of the day. I don't know what that means, the brightness of the day, for the days becoming brighter and brighter and brighter. You know, I know when the more I grow in Jesus, the more I trust him, the more I believe him, the more I serve him, my days become brighter, more consistently. They become, you know, I don't get overwhelmed. I don't get, you know, feel rejected, feel like, am I ever going to make it, you know, as much. You know, it's like sometimes you go through that little stuff. It's like, you know, it's like you open up the windows and the light shines in. And it's like, wow, I got some light shining on me. And so I see, you know, more light shining, you know, maybe because you're giving light. You're giving away light. You're teaching, you're ministering, and that light you give away, that light you let shine, comes back and shines on you, right? And makes your days go brighter. The light of God also protects us. We're children of the day, not of the night. And the light, what does the light do? The light, really, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. We all have, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord or the candle of the Lord, either one. And the lamp of the candle is our spirit man. And it's either lit or it's not lit. And when it's lit, we get born again, it gets lit, and that light reveals God to us. And the more God is revealed, right, the more you don't fear anything, right? You know, like this thing's just kind of, you know, you just don't, because the darts of the enemy are to get us to fear something or question something or get down and oppressed and let anxiety hit us because things aren't going like we think they should go, you know. But when you got God's light shining on you, you always know that you just keep on enduring until the end. Amen. Those that endure until the end. And endurance comes through the light of God. And I see a brand new light shining through you and in you and around you. Amen. Awesome. That is cool. All right, let's go here. 662-806. Can I talk to you from, please?
This is Cynthia from Mississippi.
Hey, Cynthia. All right. I saw you pray for Cynthia. Her little doggy died. That's so... wow, that's one of those things. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, through all these things she's going through, Jesus, that you will bring her to a new place of sensitivity and tenderness God. We can always, until we're as tender as Jesus, Jesus was the most tender, loving, kind, gracious person. And I don't know anybody who's exactly like him in every way, right? And so the more we go through loss and death, God always works it out for our good. Because when it hits you, you don't have your friend around anymore. Our dogs are our man's best friend. They're our friends. So when that stuff starts, you know, we start missing and all that kind of thing, you know, we still feel the sorrow and the grieving, but God begins to turn that thing into glory. So he starts turning it into a new sensitivity. And I see you coming into a whole nother level of sensitivity to the Lord, a whole nother level of sensitivity and compassion for everything that's of God. You know, not just people, but every creature, everything, even the earth. That God has created. The Bible says that God someday is going to come back and destroy those who destroy the earth. That's what it says in the book of Revelation. He's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So the earth is precious to God, and God giving you a compassion and a love and an understanding and more sensitivity to, you know, how to pray and how to believe and how to, you know, come alive to the fact that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and having a real tenderness toward that. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, praise God. All right, 972-695, you may talk to your friend, please.
Hey, Randy, it's Terrence and Tanisha from Texas.
Hey, y'all. All right, Terrence and Tanisha, they had a show tonight, every Wednesday night. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence and Tanisha. Father, thank you for their dedication to you, God, that you try them, you try and test them, God, on faithfulness to you. Most people don't even know what faithfulness to God is. They think they know. They think it's about, you know, just doing whatever, you know, they feel like God's telling them to do. But sometimes God puts us in, like on a job, or we have a business or whatever that thing is, and we learn how to, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, learn how to submit to, you know, they were very submissive people, but they didn't bow. Submissive, but not bowing. Right, and I see God teaching you how to be submissive to leadership, even like Nebuchadnezzar, and yet not bow to them. I mean, you know how much strength that takes to do that? That's an amazing thing. When you can be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I mean, they were amazing that they had that perfect balance of submission that when they told Nebuchadnezzar, said, you know, O king, you know, even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow. You know, they didn't start calling him names like you evil, you know, slime bag. Oh, God help us. But anyway, so and so they had that respect because they honored God first. They were submitted to God first. And when they resisted the devil, you know, the devil fled. In other words, when death tried to get him, the death through the devil fled. They finally said, well, throw him in the fire. And because they were submitted to God and submitted to, in a sense, Nebuchadnezzar, you know, saying, well, king, you know, you're our leader, even though we don't agree with you, you know, we're not going to, you know, kick against you, but we're not going to bow down either. And that balance, and God's going to use you guys, use you, Tanisha, to teach people how to have a balance when they're not in rebellion against God by calling their president a slimy piece of, you know what? And maybe you don't know what, you know, slimy piece of no good trash, you know? And so to find a balance in dealing with, as a Jew, dealing with a Nebuchadnezzar or a Christian, a dedicated Christian, dealing with a, you know, the presidential portion, the presidential administration that doesn't believe like you do or whatever, and being able to be respectful and yet say, I will not bow to you, that takes grace. That takes wisdom. That takes strength, and to do it right. Because if they would have been in rebellion when they got thrown into the fire, God wouldn't have been with them, right? So, oh, king, you sorry, no good bum, heathen dog, We're not going to bow down. You don't see or hear any of that. They were respectful. They understood that they were submitted to God. They knew how to talk to the leadership of their world, of their country that they were in bondage to. Right? Yeah. And so it's an amazing thing that, especially these days, with what's going on in the political realm, that people learn how to do that. Because what they do is they open themselves up to rebellion. And when they open themselves up to rebellion, they find themselves, when they get thrown into the fire, they will be killed instead of protected. Well, I thought they were Christians. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were Christians. They were on fire for God. Yeah, they sure were. But you know what? They told the king he was a good bum and a heathen dog. Even though they resisted bowing down, they went to heaven, but they got burned up in the fire because they weren't submitted to God by, you know, that balance that God gives without being a compromiser. Woo! Wow! Yeah, what a word, man! Did you hear that? I hear it. I go, oh my God, that's amazing! Wow! Hallelujah! Dear, I feel the Spirit of God all over that. Woo! And not just with the leaders of our country, but with people in general. You know, submit yourself therefore to God, then resist the devil. So submit yourself therefore to God and just going, by golly, I just do whatever God tells me to do. I don't care what any president of the United States is. Sorry, Mom. What are you telling me, evil, wicked king? You know, instead of being careful what we say about leaders, you know, yeah, we don't have to believe in anything they believe in. But if they have been chosen to lead our country, even without our voting of it, even, but they're still somehow, some way, God is in control of that, and there's a rebellion in the body of Christ that is going to find themselves as Christians. They're going to find themselves being thrown in the fire. When they're thrown in the fire is going to burn them up instead of being protected. So you see what I'm saying? So it's a big thing, a really really big thing. A really big thing. So I see God showing you how to do that, walking it. Thank you, Lord, for Terrence, God. We thank you, Lord, for the power to be like Isaac in the midst of famine, in the midst of, you know, in the midst of enemies, preparing a table for you in the midst of your enemies. You know, like Isaac, he produced 100-fold in the midst of, you know, there was no rain, there was no water. It was bad. And God used him to produce 100-fold in the midst of all that. Right. In fact, they became so jealous of him because they're going like, man, you know, everybody's looking to you instead of the king. They're looking to you because how do you do that? You know, it's like when Jesus had the power to feed them bread, turn that bread into 5 loaves and 2 fish and to feed 5,000 people or really 30,000, 20,000, 30,000. I mean, you know, when they saw that, they said, let's make him king. So that's what happens. People want to make us king, not us, but, you know, oh, you and me, we'd make it kings, right? Yeah. But to make us kings when we walk in that provision realm, right? So we have to be, you know. So he got persecuted because the kings rose up against him. The people are just usually pretty innocent. It's the leadership that becomes messed up, right? And so just like then, you know, the king didn't like the fact that the people were probably going, hey, man, Isaac, what teach us your ways, man. And the king was afraid he was going to lose, you know, his kingdom because of it. Right, or be killed or kicked out. The same thing happened when Jesus was crucified. They were afraid that they were going to take over. Let's kill him. Yeah, so prosperity comes with persecution. 100-fold comes with persecution, the book of Mark. Amen. All right. Jesus, all right, 325-280. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Chris from Texas.
Hey, Chris. All right. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for God. I see God really showing himself that he's with you, bro, like never before. And you're going to go through some struggles and battles. Wait, we all go through struggles and battles, right? But when you go through struggles and battles, here's what God's going to do. As you humble yourself in the midst of them, like we're talking about with earlier words, when you humble yourself before God and truly become submitted to God and resist evil and resist, you know, and not fight back in the flesh, but fight in the spirit. God's going to teach you how to fight the right way. There is a fight. It's not that we don't fight. Jesus fought, and in his case, you know, at the season of turning the other cheek was the way to fight. And Jesus even said, you know, you want to bless those who persecute you, say all manner of evil against you, do good to them. So God is teaching you how to fight the right fight, you know. And when people, you know, which the world's going to accuse us, and people sometimes, you know, are my family has my mom and dad are really, really good people, great people, Baptist people, but so they didn't believe in. So, you know, sometimes they, you know, would come against me and fight because they didn't know what to do. So I had to learn how to fight right. Right, and God's going to show you how to fight right. And when you fight right, you always win. It may look like you're losing sometimes. It looked like Jesus was losing for 3 days. In fact, it looked like he lost for 3 days. Until up from the grave he rose with a mighty triumph. You know, and he triumphed. But it looked like, sometimes we go through seasons, bro, where we look like we're losing. Joseph looked like for, you know, him as a long season, it looked like he was losing. But God was training him how to fight right, how to fight the right way. He didn't rise up and try to kill Potiphar and his people and run away back home, right? And he was a strong man. Joseph was a smart guy and a very strategic guy. He could have done all kinds of things to get away from them, but he was learning how to submit to God and trust somehow God to approve of him going back and being apart. So learning how to fight right. And I don't know if you listened to the message the other night. What was it, Monday night? I think it was Monday night. Yeah, it was Monday night, where I talked about the Barabbas movement that's coming to the body of Christ. Let's, you know, crucify Christ, let Barabbas go. In other words, the movement of fighting the insurrection. But Barabbas was an insurrectionist. I'm not saying Trump is an insurrectionist. I'm not saying any of the people. But it's the spirit of insurrection. It's the spirit of Barabbas. And what's Barabbas? Barabbas is, let's fight. He's a patriot. Let's fight for our country. A lot of pride in fighting for your country and fighting the wrong way, fighting Barabbas' way, which Barabbas ended up, you know, losing. But Christ ended up winning because, you know, so the message of Christ is, let's don't fight them in the flesh and try to stop God's will. Listen to the prophets, know what the will of God is, and let Satan and the Antichrist spirit system come forth, because it's going to. It's in the Bible. It's going to come forth. Why not now? Right? Let's get it over with. Instead of going in cycles of good, bad, 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 good, bad, you know, and just get and end that thing. Sounds crazy, sounds wild, sounds way out there, but it's all about how we fight. And Jesus fought by letting them, he yielded himself to the Father. The Father removed the protection from him. It seemed like he lost for 3 days, maybe four, including the whipping and all that stuff. But when it was over, he rose from the dead, and victory was his, right? So sometimes we look up, we're losing when we're actually winning. And we have it all works. In my case, it always works out for humility, right? Especially when you're being whipped with people, by people's mouths. It's that whipping, which he was, being whipped. It was humiliating, you know, because he had gotten away every time. And now, guess what? He's not getting away. Right. So it was humiliating for him and his disciples, but little did they all know. Jesus knew it, but in 3 days he was going to be the winner. Yeah. So, amen. God's going to teach you. He's showing you how to fight right, to where when you win forever. Right. Yeah. Sometimes God wants your enemies to think that they're winning, or wants those who are being used, not your enemy, who are being used of the enemy to think that they're winning. That's part of his strategy. He always lets them think they're winning. Oh, yeah, they just bad, nothing happened. This is more bad, nothing happened. This is more bad, nothing happened. Then one day, sudden destruction comes upon them. Yeah, and if they don't repent. All right, learn that. God's teaching how to fight right and win the battle like the Christ way, not the Barabbas way. Fight making flesh. All right, man. Awesome. What are you teaching me? That's awesome. All right. 478-233, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hello, this is Jan from Arlington. I'm at Georgia.
Jan from Arlington? Okay. Hi, Jan. Thank you, Jan. All right, Jan. Thank you, Jan. All right, Jan from Arlington. All right, thank you, Lord, for Jan tonight, God. We thank you, Lord, for her heart, God, that you've given, that you're giving her the strength to endure until the end. The reason that we have to have strength to endure until the end is because if we give up or give in or don't fight right and we start getting in the flesh and we fight in the flesh, then we may temporarily win, but we end up losing with God. Our pride gets satisfied. We may whoop up on somebody, and not physically whoop up on them, but teach them a lesson and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, learning how to let God, giving you the courage to endure until the end. Endure until the end means that we yield to God in the midst of all of it, and he gives us the strength to do it where we don't, because the enemy is always trying to get us to fight back in the flesh. Once we fight back in the flesh with people or even whatever, then we end up losing because, oh, we fought hard. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. I'm going to fight this thing. And so we fight in the flesh. And so, like I gave a call before, fighting in the spirit, learning how to fight right. And so it's giving you endurance, the ability and courage to do things God's way. I did it God's way instead of my way. You know, Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. No, Jan's going to be singing, and I did it God's way. Jesus said, I'm going to do it God's way. Not my will, but thy will be done. I did it God's way. Yeah, I did it God's way. And that's what you're going to sing. You're going to sing that song, I did it God's way. And thank you, Lord, for as she does it your way, Father, you're going to bring her through and bring her out and bring her victorious. Amen, in Jesus' name. All right, 111, who I talk to you from, please.
I'm for both me and Danny.
Oh, hey, y'all. All right, thank you. All right, for Daniel and Carmen. Thank you, Lord, for Daniel and Carmen tonight, God. All right. There we go. All right. Thank you, Jesus, for Daniel and Carmen. Father, I thank you for Carmen, God, tonight, that As you equip her with what she needs, God, it's like I see God equipping you. Sometimes we go through things and we learn, about things, and then he equips us. We start being equipped with what God wants us to have. He starts equipping us. Equipping means he supplies you with the equipment that you need, the things that you need, the people that you need, like building a fort, so to speak. Holding the fort, you know, and he equips you with, protection and the hedge of protection and the things that we can, who we were alone before. Now we have people with us, you know. He equips us with people, with friends, and God begins to bring those things together to where we. Well, once it's 1,000, two is 10,000 flight, right? And that's in that sense of, you know, of our protection, of kind of like, two people, become friends, and they watch each other back, and learning to watch, and learning how to watch each other back, right? It's learning how to trust that someone is watching your back. That's the big thing most people learn. Because if you're supposed to guard somebody's back and they guard yours, you have to trust the fact that they're doing that, right? So that takes, dealing with things, overcoming fear, overcoming, things that have happened in the past and going like, okay, God, I'm trusting you that this equipment you're bringing me, these people, this person you're bringing in my life, I'm trusting them with, covering my back, like armor bearers. The armor bearer, has to trust that person, them, who was it? His armor bearer, Jonathan's armor bearer, Saul's son, Jonathan's armor bearer. Jonathan and his armor bearer went up on a hill and conquered a hill, right? It was a major thing, and they really were trusting God. And the armor bearer says to Jonathan, Jonathan says, "Are you with me?" And he says, "Well, whatever's in your heart, do it. I'm with you." And so, Jonathan had to trust his armor bearer, because when you go get in a battle. And your armor bearer is, I'm kind of with you, but I don't know, man, maybe, sort of, kind of. You know, he made a commitment to him. You might look at that when you get a chance. Jonathan's in orbit. I don't remember exactly what he said to him, but he basically said, I am committed to you. You know, whatever in your heart, do it, and I'll fight with you. And so they went up and had a very threatening situation where they could have been killed easily. I think they fought like 20 of the main warriors. You know, the specialty warriors, not just regular fighters, the specialty fighters who were guarding a certain little hill or mountain or Craig of the Rock or whatever it was on top of the hill. They climbed up together and they put out a sign and said, well, if God is for us, you know, they're going to say a certain thing when we say, you know. And so sure enough, when Jonathan said, you know, whatever he said, and then the enemy people said what they said, it confirmed that God was with them. So they said, let's go. Jonathan and his armor bearer went and they fought. And they won, you know, and an earthquake hit even in the midst of all of it, which is amazing. It's like their obedience to God brought forth an earthquake and shook the whole place up. All right, yeah. So even Saul's army, who didn't even know they were gone, going like, where'd they go at, man? Nobody knew where they were at. They were up there, you know. Jonathan is like David. He wanted to, you know, let's take this on. God is with us. And so they did that. And anyway, well, that's going out of now. But hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, for that thing, Father, of learning how to trust the people that God sends you is, you know, whether in friendship, whether in business, whether in marriage, whatever the thing is, you have to learn to trust the person God brings. You know, for a business thing, a ministry, friendship, marriage, whatever that is, you learn to trust the person to cover your back. You know, and so because when you got your back covered, then you can focus on the battle in front of you. If you don't know if your back's covered, you have to keep looking back to see if anybody's coming behind you. But if you got somebody covering your back, all you do is focus on what's forward. Both of you look that, you know, both the Jonathan and his armor could, you know, watch what's going on. So, and be able to focus on the battle instead of what's coming up behind them and, you know, halfway weakening them, you know. So thank you, Lord, for that strategy. In Jesus' name, what, 1 for 1,000, 2 for 10,000? Why? Because they can focus on, like Jonathan could focus straight forward on the enemies in front of him. And he would knock him down and his armor bearer would finish him off. That's, well, what I remember, that's what happened. I haven't read in a while, but that's, I believe that's what happened. And that's how it works. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for Daniel, God. We thank you for Daniel, Father, in Jesus' name, God, that you're teaching him how to fight. You know, he takes different levels of warfare. Sometimes we learn how to use, you know, a knife. Then we learn how to use a gun. Then we learn how to use a sword. We learn how to use, you know, whatever, you know, a tank. There's different levels of warfare, different levels of weapons. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching Daniel how different levels of weapons, the weapons of God, the weapons of our warfare are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Learn how to use those weapons of God properly and know what weapon to use at the right time. You know, do we blast them away with the cannon or do we go in there with, you know, with the pistol? How do we do this thing? Do we take out our enemies? You know, so learning how to fight, learning what weapons to use, and learning about the weapons that God's given, how they're mighty to God to pulling down strongholds. Amen. Wow. Very cool. Woo, it sounds like something great happening there. Amen. 240-42, can I talk to you from, please?
Good evening. This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie. Hi, Valerie. Good to have you. You know, God wants you to start seeing yourself as successful. Just because we're not successful in everything we do, because we are in a season of learning. We're always learning, even when you're like have a job and you've been at that job for 20 years, you're always learning new things about, you know, new like computer systems. There's always new ways to use the computer system. So you're always taking courses to keep upgraded on, you know. So it's like, you know, God's showing you how to, you know, to stay, you know, upgraded. And be in the flow of, you know, how to be successful, because God says he wants you to be successful, and he wants you to start seeing yourself as successful. And because success in the eyes of God is different than it is in the eyes of the world. People think you're successful if you're good at taking other people down on your way up. Well, God says, you know, that's not success in his eyes. In his eyes, that's shameful. They may win for a season, but when you do things God's way and you're successful in God, so learning how to do things God's way, sometimes we look like we're failing. We look like we're not making it. We look like we're, you know, unsuccessful because we're like turning the other cheek, like Barabbas told Jesus, and the, you know, you're going to turn the other cheek. You know, we got to fight these people. We can turn it. Jesus said, not right now. At this time, I'm turning the other cheek. And, of course, that's how he won the battle for all of us, was turning the other cheek. So learning how to fight is everything. And thank you, Lord, for showing her what true success is. And when we want to be successful, which we all do, everybody wants to be successful. We want to be successful mothers. We want to be successful, you know, entrepreneurs. We want to be successful, you know, women of God, prayer warriors, whatever. All that. So we all want to be successful. I mean, it's finding out the ways of what true success is and how you get that success from God instead of yielding to the pressure of the world and trying to do things in the world. Like a lot of people get loans and get overwhelmed with money trying to look good so they look successful and then they fall apart later down the road. But learning how to be successful in God, how it's being successful by giving. You know, giving it shall be given. That's not going to – no, you got to take. You got to go out there and get it. And God says the opposite way. It's in having a giving spirit, being a giving person that you give and it's given back to you. That's how you become successful. Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish and became extremely successful in feeding people in a miraculous form of multiplying bread. How did he do it? He knew how to do it. He knew how to be, you know, what? Even his disciples said, Lord, you're going to fail. This is not going to work. That's not enough fish. He said, watch this. Took the loaves. Lift them up, bless them to the Father, gave thanks, broke them, gave them up to the disciples, and they gave them away. And when they gave them away, that was God's strategy, right? That was God's strategy. What happened? He got very successful and came back with 12 baskets full. Extremely successful. Yeah. So show that success, Lord. Amen. See yourself successful in God's ways, in God's eyes. Not on the eyes of the world, because, you know, I never was very good at that anyway, but I'm much better doing things God's way for some reason. But, you too. See God showing you how to do that. Amen. All right, 612-991, who I talked to you from, please.
Hello, Randy. This is Joyce and Blossom from Minnesota.
And Malcolm?
Blossom?
No, you said Joyce and who?
Blossom.
Oh, Blossom. Of course. Of course, I thought you were saying Malcolm. I'm sorry, my earpiece isn't that good. Thank you. Joyce and Blossom. Oh, wow, good to have you. You got Joyce and Blossom on tonight. Hallelujah. All right. Okay, hang on a second. Let me write your name down. So I try to get everybody down here. Blossom. All right, Joyce and Blossom. Thank you, Lord, for Joyce and Blossom. Thank you, Lord, for Blossom, God, that you are, allowing her to see herself as a person who has value, who has things that are valuable. That God wants to show you, Blossom, that you have things that are valuable. In order to know that you have valuable things, you have to see them as valuable in God's eyes. Right, what the world sees Blossom as valuable is like, you know, if you, have all the education is good, education is always good, but, you know, there's certain ways that the world, he says, well, how are you with the boys, how are you with, you know, wheeling and dealing and all of that, and so people call that, you know, a good thing, and really, and it's not. It's really not good. And learning how to be, how to find favor with God by doing things God's way, right? And so when you find what is truly blessed in God's eyes and you start working on that, then, God makes you, you know, know that you are, what's the word? I'm trying to think of the word I'm trying to get here. To know that you are blessed and favored and that you have value. That's what it is, the word value. It's like you need the word value. He wants to show you what's valuable in God's eyes. So if you focus on what's valuable in God's eyes, Blossom, as you do, and you will continue to do that, then you're going to see yourself as valuable the true way. Most worldly people in the world, are trying to be valuable in the wrong way, like do I look, you know, do I have enough makeup on? Am I wearing, you know, sexy clothes? Am I wearing all that? And they think of all these different ways that makes them look like they're valuable, all these nice rings and all this stuff. The perfect clothing, and that makes them look valuable, but they're not really valuable. They're valuable maybe on the outside, but not on the inside. And God's going to make you very valuable and know that you're very valuable on the inside, that God values you. You're going to feel valued by God. And so as you do that, as you walk in that, then eventually the people that look to real value in people, they're going to look at you and go, man, that's real value right there. That's a diamond right there. That's not some fake piece of glass. Blossom is a diamond, and we're going to invest in her. We're going to invest in her. We're going to be a part of her life because she has true value that lasts. And thank you, Lord, for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So bless Joyce, God. We thank you, Lord, for Joyce and any fears that the enemy tries to hear with of being successful in God's eyes, being successful, God warned me one time about being a man pleaser. He said, be careful that you don't try to please people, but you please me first. Because every time I find myself pleasing people, you know, sometimes we just want to please, we want to be nice, we want to be kind. So I found myself being a people pleaser, didn't know it, that's what it was. And then God says, don't be a people pleaser, Andy, please me. So sometimes I had to find myself not pleasing people by saying no to them when they wanted me to say yes to them. And God's going like, good job. You know, I can trust you. So it's all about trust. God's building trust in you, Joyce, that he can trust you because you don't just do things to be nice. You do things, you tell the truth, you tell it in love, and you stand on that truth, right? And you don't bow before people to please them, right? But we please God. And in pleasing God, eventually the people are going to be pleased, right, around you. And they're going to go, well, you're going to be a treasure with your family, with your children. Amen? Yeah. So that's it. Praise God. All right. Sometimes getting those words out is takes the Holy Ghost to do it. All right. Thank you, Joyce. And Blossom, good to see you. Good to hear from you. All right. 402-650. I'm going to talk to you right from, please. Wait a minute. All right. 402-650. All right, 402-650, you there?
Hey, Randy, it's John from Omaha.
Oh, hey, John. Yes, John Moses. Thank you, John. All right, thank you. All right, thank you for John and Melissa. All right. Thank you, Lord, for John. Melissa, we thank you, Lord, for John. We thank you, Lord, for carrying that burden for him, God. That he learns more and more and more how to cast the burden on you. That's what prayer really is about. Prayer is not how long we pray. It's learning how to cast that burden on the Lord. Because he knows sometimes we get burdened. We get things. We have things we have to take care of, responsibilities. And to get God's help, really to get God's help the right way, we cast that care upon him. That's what prayer is. Prayer isn't, how long did you spend in prayer? 3 hours. Well, did you ever get to get rid of that burden, that care? Well, not really. So the goal is not how long we pray, but it's learning how to cast that care upon the Lord and give it to him. Whether that's praying takes 3 minutes or 3 seconds. It doesn't matter. Whether 3 hours, whatever it takes. If it takes that long, that's what it takes. And learn how to cast that care on the Lord. Because once you get the care off of you and give it to the Lord, then he starts working in your behalf, right? So when we carry the care, we have anxiety and stress. I know I do. I have anxiety and stress until I cast it upon him. Once I cast it upon him, then He cares for me, and I have faith, and I'm not burdened down with fear and anxiety and stress and worrying about it and wondering, you know, and all that stuff. So, God, give my brother, Lord, let the anointing, let him tap into that anointing or that blessing of how to yield the, cast the care upon you, for you care for him. And so his faith can be activated, because anxiety and stress, they weigh down my faith every time. Since I get casted upon the Lord, my faith goes into action automatically. So thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name, with Melissa, God, you're teaching Melissa how to submit to you, how to listen to your voice, how to listen to the word above men, above men's words, to listen to the word of God above men's words. If we do that, then God honors us because we put his word first and not men's words. Amen. All right. All right, 804-549, who may I talk to you from, please? 804-549, are you there? All right, I think it's Tigus. All right, Tigus, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you, Lord, for Tigus tonight, God. I thank you for exposing the enemy's strategies, God, around her, that she is wise, she is able to expose the works of the enemy and to not fall prey to the strategies of men, of fables. And thank you, Lord, that that you're showing her how to listen to you, to the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit says about the scriptures, what the Holy Spirit says about things, instead of just what people say through tradition, and man's tradition nullifies the word of God, nullifies the power of God. And I thank you, Lord, you're teaching her how to walk in the power of the word, how strong the word is, how the word is what keeps her, how the word is what watches over her, how the word is what causes her to be successful, how the word is causes her to know what to do and how to do it. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right. Okay. 903-261, did you get knocked off?
I got back on.
Okay, yeah. You went down to the bottom of the line. So because I wrote down all the numbers before and I saw that you weren't there, so I looked down there and there you were. Okay, who am I talking to? Where from, please?
This is Sue from Longview.
Sue from Longview. Okay, thank you, Sue. All right, Sue, good to have you. So, no, we don't talk on Wednesdays. Thank you, Sue. Sue from Longview. All right, Sue from Longview. Thank you, Lord, for I speak the spirit of victory over her, God, that she will not receive defeat in any fashion. You know, death is not defeat. Having problems is not defeat. Losing the battle sometimes is not defeat. Defeat is giving up. Defeat is saying, you know, okay, I lose. So we give it. But showing you how to not receive defeat, how to not defeat yourself and how to walk in victory by understanding that sometimes we look like we temporarily lose. Jesus, you know, as I said earlier, somebody else, but it seems like Jesus temporarily lost. I mean, temporarily, everybody thought he lost forever because he was dead. He was dead and in the tomb, buried. Looked like he lost, but he hadn't lost. So the disciples gave up, and they kind of gave up and they gave in. So God's showing you how to see what's going on, how to judge things properly, and how to know what's going on, so that you can, you know, if something's just defeated, so-called defeated temporarily, that you know that, you keep your eyes on the victory that God has for it, and you don't give up and give into that. You know, in 3 days he's going to resurrect from the dead, or whatever the timing is. And we thank you, Jesus, for Sue, God, that you raise her up, God, showing her how to not give in, not give in to defeat, but continue to believe you for victory, because God is only looking for one thing, Sue. He's looking for agreement. I shared last night something with somebody. It said people think that, and God hears them in their much speaking, in their much spend there much time praying, but it's not about time praying. It is about praying correctly and listening correctly, right? And then once God says, I had God tell me one time, he told me something's going to happen. And so I said, okay, I better start praying about that right now because that's a big thing. It was a really big thing. Oh, God, those shekere boom da ba dear Jesus. He said, hang on, Randy, hang on. He said, I don't need you to, I just need one thing from you to make it happen. I said, what's that, hours of prayer? No, agreement. Do you come into agreement with me? I said, yeah. Is that it? Just come into agreement? Yeah. Just come into agreement with me. When you come into agreement with me, that's all I need. I don't need you praying a bunch of prayers. Some things take prayer, take that time, but sometimes all I need from you is your agreement. Whatever two or more agree, such and that shall be done. I'm going, well, you said it, God. Yeah, of course I agree with you. Well, it happened exactly. Without any prayer, without any groaning, without any intercession, without anything, we watched it happen. Just simply because God wanted somebody in the earth to agree with him. Sometimes that's what it is. We think we got to labor and pray and fast, and there's a time for laying before the Lord and fasting and praying. Of course there is. But sometimes God just says, you're sweating too much. Quit sweating so much. Just start coming into agreement with me. Agreement. Sometimes it takes prayer to get in agreement. If God would have told me that and I wouldn't have believed it, I said, I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm going to pray until I get an agreement, and then I'll let you know. So he said, okay. But I don't have to pray that the thing comes into being. I come into agreement with God. That's all he wanted from me was agreement. Sure enough, I agreed with him right away because I knew it was a supernatural thing. Okay, God, you got it. Done. Exactly the way he said it. And it was a major, major ordeal. So thank you, Lord, for Sue, God, and showing Sue how to walk in that place. That she didn't waste her time, spend her time. Prayer and seeking God is really about hearing what he has to say about something. Once he tells you, if he tells you in the first 5 minutes of praying, why pray for 3 hours? I mean, to tell everybody you pray for 3 hours? Oh, I pray for 3 hours. Getting answers? No, but I pray. You got somebody, I pray for 3 minutes and got an answer. Oh, you did that? Well, you can't do that. Well, it happened. Three minutes, I had an answer. Wow. Well, we thought prayer was about how long you went and how hard you went. No, it's getting answers. Yeah, God teaches us how to get our religion, get into the spirit. That's what he's trying to teach me. That's all I can say. All right. 803-991, who am I talking to you from, please?
Hi, Randy. It's Angela, South Carolina.
Angela. All right, Angela, South Carolina. Good to have you, Angela. All right. Yes, and I know Angela's father. She sent me a note about her father. Let's talk about this for a second. Okay. So, Angela, I don't usually talk to people on Wednesday, but your father just passed away. So
yes,
sad to hear that. How old was he?
Yes. He was 78. 78.
So he lived a pretty good life. But, yeah, it's always sad to lose your daddy, though.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank
God
you so
bless
much.
You. Okay, you're so welcome, dear. We'll be praying for you. Thank you for calling in. All right. I just want everybody to know, pray for Angela Lanham. Her father passed away, 78 years old, so sad. Yeah. Wow. All right. We thank you, Jesus, Lord, that during this season of death, God, just like that the night before when you called and we were talking about how you were out at the, gravesite, somebody else's gravesite, whatever, and how God was speaking to you, he was talking to you, and how he used you to bring joy to somebody. And I just see God really, bringing to a place of letting things pass away. You know, sometimes we let things pass away. I've had some people call me and say, my father's really sick. My mother's really sick. Whatever, and they're older. You know, can you pray that they'll come back to life? And I'm going like, yeah, if God tells me to, yeah. Sometimes I pray, I say, you know what, it's time to let them go. And they get mad at me sometimes, sometimes they don't. I said, well, it's time to let them go. It's time for them to go. Let them go. Make things right with them, whatever you got to do that. Let them go. And learn how to let things go and let God, what we want is God's will. Right? It's not just hanging on to something, and you know all this already. It's not about hanging on to something just to hang on to it. just so we can say we prayed them through. If God wants them to go on, what's more important, God's will or, you know, what we think? And so, you know, I know you know this already. You do this already. You walk in it. It's about what God thinks is important. And so learning how to, God showing you how to, you know, let things go. And, I mean, you'll work through them. And, you know, because we can't let them go unless we work through them. So when we work through a thing, then God, you know, because we work through it with God, cast our care upon the Lord, then we work through it with him instead of without him. With him, then we work through it and come through that valley of the shadow of death and to the other side. And I see God showing you things about death and, you know, about dying and, you know, different things and showing you things about that and the God side of it. You know, we always hear about the morbid side of it, but there's also the God side of it. Christians have a God side to death and to see death in a way that, that he wants us to see it. And, and showing you things about death and making death, let death be seen for what it is in each circumstance. You know, premature death, not good, right? How do we prevent that? When it's time for somebody to die, you know, understanding that it's time for that to go on. When John the Baptist's time came to die, he was like 31 years old, but he fulfilled the will of God fast, man. It was a treasure and a blessing for him to go, you know, at his age. And you think he could have walked with Jesus and helped Jesus out, but it wasn't God's will. The thing is what is God's will? Right? So whatever the will of God is, and seeing the will of God in death, seeing the will of God in all those things, and allowing God to show you all the different things about death, how beautiful it is, how beautiful are the death of saints, how horrible it is that people go to hell, and give you a compassion for the lost so that even if they give their life, they spend their whole life rebelling against God, if they get right with God on the table when they're dying, they got right with God. And how important that is to win a soul to Jesus and make sure that they make it to heaven if they spent all their whole life rebelling against God. And how beautiful it is when saints go be with Jesus when they've lived their life for him, right? And all those different things about death. Amen? Awesome. All right. God's going to strengthen you and comfort you with the Holy Spirit, another level, a whole new level of comfort by the Holy Spirit to comfort you and give you comfort. Sometimes comes to God speaking sweet something in our ear. You know, when we're suffering and struggling. It's like my dog, you know, you take the word dog, turn around and says God. God made dogs very sensitive. You know, my dog used to jump up in my lap. I didn't tell anybody. Sometimes I don't tell anybody if I'm going through a really hard time. I just kind of go through it. I'm used to that and, you know, keep it to myself for the most part. So my dog jumped up in my lap and he started, like groaning and like, you know, loving on me. And, you know, I'm going like, this dog is amazing. Just nobody knew I was struggling with having a battle and just feeling, you know, overwhelmed and blah, blah, blah. And that dog, you know, just felt so that, you know, so seeing that, you know, that a new sensitivity in you toward feeling people and what they're going through and how to be a comfort to them, how to jump up in their lap, you know, let them know, you know, I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm with you. You know, it's amazing how comfort, somebody, one person to comfort you, feel you, and nobody else does, how comforting that is, man. It's amazing. Amen. God's going to use you like that. All right, 769-220, who am I talking to you from, please? Seven six nine, are you there? Oh, I think it's Andrika. All right, Andrika, I hear you. It's Jesus' name. Thank you. I mean, I don't hear you, but I see you. All right, I know that number. I got that number there. Thank you, Andrika. Thank you, Jesus, for giving her strength, God, to sustain her and to cause her to tap into things where everybody else is trying to drill wells for water, or oil, or whatever, they run dry. That God, just like Isaac, Isaac was able to spend and be suspended above everybody else. He was always above. That resurrection power caused us to live above and rise above when there's death going on, we always raise up from the dead. We always think that we do. God brings it to life. You know, it's always he always finds a way where there seems to be no way. And I think in order for that power to find a way where there seems to be no way, God, you're bringing her in that mystery realm of finding ways, finding, you know, creative ways to do things and think things through and work things through and how to pray. Sometimes we need creative ways how to pray and to find a way where there seems to be no way. Because there seems to be no way, it's kind of overwhelming, right? Yeah, so God says to show us how to find a way where there seems to be no way. Doesn't look like it. So thank you, Lord, for that courage, strength, and ability to stand strong. Father, be weak, and yet in that her weakness, God, be strong through her. And that's that resurrection power. When we become weak, we live in death to self, and Christ in us comes forth always with victory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Blessing, the strength, and the glory of God. Walking with God in the midst of the storm. Walking with God and watching God work things out that seem like there's no way. Amen. And surprising people, shocking people, making known the ways of God, that I'm with you. Yea, though I am with you, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil because I am with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. 863-808, can I talk to you in front, please? All right, 863-808. I think that's Sheriff of Florida. Sheriff of Florida, thank you, Lord, for Sheriff of Florida, I believe it is. Oh, sure. Thank you, Lord, for God, her life, that she's learning how to give her life away to you, not just to people, not just to things, not just to stuff, but everything she does unto the Lord. God, and everything you do it unto the Lord. There's always reward for that. That's why we do things unto the Lord. Why? Because he rewards us. It's not selfish reward. It's rewards to do the will of God. That's why it's important to do the will of God, because he rewards you with what? To do more of the will of God. He gives you more revelation on how to do the will of God. He gives you more provision to do the will of God. He gives you, opens the ways to do the will of God. Every time we do some little something for him, he goes like, man, I'm going to reward you for that. And the reward is always to bring you into his will deeper and higher, provision for it, favor for it. You know, it's always, our rewards are always to accelerate us into the will of God, because the will of God is our protection. The will of God is our, why would we want anything but to be rewarded with more of the will of God? Well, the will of God is friends, it's revelation from heaven, it's blessing, it's anointing, it's money, it's all those things to do the will of God. Amen. And the more we do the will, it's when we quit doing the will where he becomes ashamed of us. You know, I can't reward you for that. You're doing your own thing. So I thank the Lord that Cheryl, and everything she does, she's doing it as another Lord. So those rewards come in hard and heavy in Jesus' name, where everything she does, you reward her for it, God, for more of the will of God. Amen. All right. 863-944. Can we talk to you from, please? Oh. 863-944. Who am I talking to you from? Okay, I think this is Jan. Jan from Florida. I think Cheryl's friend. All right. Okay. People have dropped off, so I'm trying to find you if I see that you're out of line and try to see if you drop down at the bottom. I don't see 509 anywhere. 509, I do not see you. You have to go to work or something. All right. Jan from Florida. Thank you, Lord, for Jan. Thank you, Jesus, for Jan. Thank you, Lord, for the heart you've given her, Father, to succeed, to be successful, to succeed in things, and to be successful, God, successful in whatever she touches, whatever her hands touch, and how that happens is doing God's purposes. God has a purpose. And his purposes are always to show that he is God of all gods. And he's the Lord of our Lord. That's why he went to Egypt and did the plagues. He wasn't just to destroy things. God's not a destroyer. He went there to destroy the gods of Egypt so that people would trust him. You know, so God, you use her to openly show that that you are Lord and that everything else is not, right? And everything she does, God, she put her hands to things, is to show that God is God. You know, enemy doesn't rule here. The enemy can't have his way here. God's going to have his way because he's always looking for vessels to use to get his way. Because people are what bring about the will of God. Amen? That's why we walk in his will, to bring his will, to bring his purposes, to show that his purpose is in the earth, is to say, I've come to recover the earth and everything in it. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for that total restoration of her life, God. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, to defeat Satan and to show that God is the God of all gods. There is no God beside the Lord Jesus. Amen. And his Father, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. 863-268. Anyone talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, Randy. It's Charles and Nikki Altman. And could you pray for Stephanie, please?
Yes. Yes, pray for Stephanie. Yes, I heard that. Thank you for, I almost didn't get it there. And pray for Stephanie. Thank you. Steph. Okay. All right, Stephanie and then Nikki and Charles. Thank you for Stephanie, for Nikki's daughter, Father, there in Germany. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Father, for strengthen her, God, that let her keep her childlike heart, her childlike faith. That's like her, like a little children, like a little child, that we become like little children. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven without becoming like a little child. And God, she will be able to keep that little child's heart, that pure, innocent faith about her, Father, and yet finding herself growing stronger and more mature and being awakened to things that she's never been awakened to before, that you're teaching her things that she's never known before, which just look very childlike. Yes, when you're a child, you speak like a child, you act like a child. When you grow up, you don't do that anymore. But in some ways, we never lose our childlike faith. And she will never lose that. But at the same time, as she grows and matures, God, you're going to show her how to be strong, to be tough, and how to kick the devil out. And sometimes it appears like when Jesus took the whip and drove out the money changers, it looked like he was being cool, like, oh, I can't believe our tender, loving little sweet Jesus had a whip and was turning over tables, throwing a fit, basically. But it was a fit for God. It was something that so what happened to pure little innocent Jesus? Well, you know, pure little innocent Jesus was still pure little innocent Jesus. Pure little innocent Jesus turned into a warrior, amen, and he fought, you know, and he turned over tables, and he was doing the will of God. So thank you, Lord, for showing her how to do that, not feel bad about that, to know that it's okay, and yet that she can maintain her purity with you, her innocence with you, God. Amen. All right. In fact, this, you know, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Charles. I'm trying to move. Thank you, Lord, for Charles, God. We thank you, Lord, for Charles, God, that you show him what bondage really is. Sometimes bondage is demons. Sometimes bondage is just not stepping out and doing what God tells us to do, showing that bondage can be a lot of different things. Bondage is more than just, you know, it can be anything. It can be bondage to, you know, a certain food. It can be bondage to doing, you can sleep too much. You can not rest enough. That can be bondage. And never rest, always working, never resting. That can be bondage. We become workaholics because we're trying to, you know. So I thank you, Lord, for bringing him to a whole other level of trusting you. Trusting you, God, and that you're going to supply for him because he trusts you. In Jesus' name, he's not in bondage to those things. Amen. That bondage, you're going to show him different levels of bondage that people can be in. Get set free of that. Break free of it. Amen. All right. Nikki, God, I thank you for Nikki tonight. God, we thank you, Jesus, for spare the rod, spoil the child. It's like we have to, you know, spare the rod, we spoil the child. We thank you, Lord, that in any ways, any of the ways that we spare the rod, you know, sparing the rod means, you know, our kids are grown up, you know, and all that, but sparing the rod means we give in to things that we know that they're doing, that we keep giving into it, you know. And as you know, mothers are more tender than fathers can be a little bit, not always. Fathers sometimes be very vulnerable and weak toward their daughters. And mothers can be very weak and vulnerable to their sons, you know, or even to their children. So it's just kind of a thing that we all can do. And so to spare the rod, you know, not spare the rod, that when the rod needs to come forth and stand strong, it's just standing strong because the bondage that they're in, and whatever level that is, it doesn't get worse because we don't speak the truth. The rod can come out of our mouth as the word of the Lord. It's standing strong for what God says, not compromising, because a compromise brings bondage, right? And that she will not spare the rod, Lord, that you are teaching her how to, that it spoils, it nullifies the blessing of God and nullifies the how you want to bless. And that, you know, so give her strength, God, and wisdom on how to deal with that, because it's, you know, when we're too tough or not tough enough, it's just hard to know what to do with all that. And we need help with it. And, God, I know I do. Sometimes I can feel real foolish. Like, I'm just certain things. God, you know, am I being too weak or too strong or what's going on? How do I deal with it? So it just takes the grace of God to deal with those things. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving her that grace, that you're showing her that grace. She wants to do the right thing. She wants to do the God thing. She doesn't fear people. She just wants to make sure she's not wounding people by standing strong. So show her the balance of that, God, in Jesus' name. Show her how to work that and deal with that and then walk away feeling good that she did God's will. Paul the Apostle, as I've talked about before, would say he would be really tough with them. You know, I'm turning you over to Satan. And then he'd walk in and then he'd say, yeah, and I'm not sorry. I said it. And then he'd later say, oh, man, even though I said I wasn't sorry, I was still sorry. Because he dealt with that. He was sorry after he would be hard on them. Because he wanted them to see, he just wanted blessing for them, right? But sometimes he had to be really tough with them and not spare the rod. And it's a difficult thing to do. And I think if Jesus forgiven the grace to do it, because she wants to see results. Amen. She will. In Jesus' name. Amen. And Paul later would say, you know, the reason I don't feel bad now, even though I did feel bad after I said I wasn't going to feel bad, was because I saw the results from my being tough. So that's the true balance of all that. God help you. Jesus. Woo! That's a tough one, man. All right. All right, I'm just fixing to call that next number, and they went bye-bye. I don't know where they went. They 864, you just went bye-bye. I don't know where you are now, but I don't see you on there. Okay, so you're now gone. All right, so I'm going to call it here. 903-808, can I talk to you real quick, please?
Hey, this is Janie in Texas.
Hey, Janie. All right, Janie, you got to have it tonight. Jeannie. All right, Jeannie, Texas, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that, you know, that ability to take, to condemn words. You know, every tongue that rises against me in judgment, I shall condemn it. You know, I mean, sometimes people can speak good words to you that seem good, that appear good. And sometimes those things are to lure us away into, you know, different things like, I have people, you know, they try to talk to me good. You know, why do you talk so bad about the merchandiser? Why do you keep talking about that? You know, and so sometimes it discourages me, right? I'm thinking, yeah, I don't know why. I don't really like doing it either, but it's like, you know, God tells me to do something. I know I'm doing His will. That's what makes me happy is I do His will, even if it makes people upset. So they try to tell me, yeah, you know, it's really better to not do that. So I start yielding to that stuff or, you know, just begin to my thoughts. I'm going, what am I doing? I condemn those thoughts that rise up against me in judgment because sometimes the thoughts that come against us are people thinking they know what's better than we do about what God's doing. So we have to condemn those thoughts too and condemn them because they will cause you to compromise. Like that's what happened with me. It's like when the Holy Spirit woke me up, you know, about 8 weeks ago and started preaching to me. His preaching woke me up. And preaching hard and heavy, man. He just gets really into it. It's amazing. Just the plans that Jesus preached like that, and I believe it. It's just like, wow. And he was telling me, you know, don't do any compromising on preaching, prophesying about the merchandisers because something's about to happen. I went, wow, you know, okay. So why was I compromising a little bit or even thinking I wasn't really going to stop it, but I'd not be as strong, right? I'm trying to be more nice. I'm trying to be a nice prophet. I'm going to be a nice prophet. I want to be a kind prophet. I don't want people to get mad, you know, like, you know, so God goes, you know, don't worry about the people, man. Just make me happy, and I'll make everybody else work out. Okay, so I have to take those thoughts captive, you know, and that rise up against me in judgment because they're trying to stop me from doing God's will, you know, and especially right when the breakthrough's about to happen. So it's not just people speaking negative things. It's speaking positive things, you know, that seem positive, seem like, you know, you have to be so hard on them. You have to speak so straight, so specific. Yeah, you know, that's why I start thinking, well, maybe not. I take authority over that thought, cast it down. Yeah, so God's showing you the realm of words and how to, you know, things have been spoken in the past, things have been spoken, you know, tomorrow, last night, yesterday, you know, whenever, you know, things happen, and to take authority over them right away. You know, don't wait and sit on them. Lord, if this is you, of course, you know, I'm not talking to you, but every tongue that rises against me in judgment, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in judgment, good, bad, or ugly, no matter what, if they just, you know, I really love you. What if Delilah, when Delilah came to Samson, I mean, her sweet little words were trying to get him to compromise, right? So if he'd have taken those thoughts captive, he would have never compromised. But he did because he listened. He meditated on it. And it finally gets to you, man. I know. Woo! So I see God really sharpening you with that and saving yourself from going through stuff. So you won't have to have the Holy Spirit come preach to you in early in the morning and wake you up and telling you don't give in to that, you know, like you did me, right, if I'd have been dealing with that. But sometimes we just forget. We just think, you know, I don't know, is it God or God? Yeah, I kind of feel like I'm getting tired of talking about it too. So if somebody else comes along, the devil uses people to confirm it. Yeah, quit talking about that so much. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, so all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of things. So anything that's not of God. So it's not just we think about judgment thoughts as being negative, but sometimes it's even good things, trying to lure us away from God's will. Take those thoughts, okay? Because the lure, once we meditate on a luring word, you know, to just draw us away from doing something good, but it's not God's good. To draw us away from doing God's perfect will to doing something that is a good will. Well, what do we want, perfect or good and acceptable? Well, we want perfect. But the enemy's always bringing the good and acceptable. So he wants you to start understanding, thinking about words and speaking judgment on them, condemning those words, is sometimes good words that appear good, that look good, that are to lure you to, you know, do, you know, not something bad, but do something good. It's not God. It's something good. And, yeah, so we're stepping in a season of great rewards. And I see God, you know, rewarding you greatly. And so what did the enemy try to do with Jesus? He tried to get him to compromise. You know, just turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. It's no big deal. God's with you. What's the big deal? Well, it wasn't God's will. Yeah, it would have showed the power of God, turned the rock into bread. That would have been amazing, man. What an amazing miracle. But it wasn't the will of God. And so he took those thoughts captive and, you know, and with everything, give you these kingdoms of the world, you know, just raise his bowed enemies, you know. Yeah, so that was obviously not good, but the luring of it was, so how did he deal with it? Get behind me, Satan, right? Yeah, so showing you how to deal with that at a different level. And where you find yourself, you know, 3 weeks, 3 months later, you know, still dealing with things because, you know, like what happened with me, like I'm trying to explain what happened with me. Some of those things I was already struggling with. Satan knows we're struggling with things. So I'd be faithful to God and this thing and that thing and everything, you know, and then he tries to draw you away with something that looks good. So, yeah, and taking this off the captive. Amen. And, you know, keeping her heart. I'm always dealing with that stuff. She's always, you know, tempting me with people coming along and saying, man, you know, you can just start doing this and you can be a lot easier to take care of this and that and the other and do it, just do it a different way than what God's telling me to do. You know, not a bad way, not evil, not, you know, just in God and Jesus' name. Yeah. Hallelujah. So anything but the perfect will of God. Satan wants anything but the perfect will of God. Amen. It's not just getting us out of the will of God. It's that the perfect will of God. So rewards that you're about to receive from that are going to be cool because rewards always cause you to step more into the will of God before. That's their design. It's always about rewarding you to do more of the will of God. You get into 3600, you go from one level to the other. Amen. Get ready for those rewards. The rewards are for the will of God. Amen. All right. All right, 214-434, who am I talking to you from, please?
This is Kimberly in Texas. Will you pray for Kimberly, my friend Derek?
Yes. Hello. Thank you. All right, Kimberly and Derek. Write that down. All right, Kimberly. Thank you, Lord, for Kimberly and Derek, friend Derek. Thank you, Jesus, that that combination, God, of friendship and love and serving God and doing things, God. If you're not doing God's, if you're not serving God right now, and in that relationship, you know, together, you know, as far as that, you know, that's your goal. It's not about getting to the ministry. It's about serving God together, you know. Sometimes, you know, Derek can do something different than you're doing, but somehow combining those things together and finding, you know, how they connect and how they're perfect. Because if our purpose together is not, you know, focused on God's will and God's purposes, then God can't bless it, right? So if we, like, seek ye first the kingdom of God, seek. Ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in a relationship, and all these things shall be added to you. So when we seek God's will together in a relationship, we do it in everything we do, but in relationship especially, to do the will of God, to serve God, you know, one way or the other. So to having that together is where God, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So God starts adding to you. Why? Because you're seeking first his will together, right? If you're doing that now, at whatever level, you know, start with maybe different levels of serving, and then it turns into God starts adding to you and adding to you and adding to you. When God starts adding to you, that's when you get blessed. So I thank you, Lord, that you teach them how to walk in your will, seek your will, to serve you in their relationship. In Jesus' name, and watch you add to them, God. If you said adding thing, adding. Amen. Blessing. Because they're seeking first, not just each other, but seeking you in that, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, cool. All right, awesome. All right, 404-453. You want to talk to your phone, please? 404-453. Are you there? All right, it's Madeline. All right, Madeline. Oh, she fall asleep.
Yes,
no problem. Oh, hi, Madeline. Okay, thank you, Madeline. Good to have you. All right, thank you. Sometimes people fall asleep. No big deal. Have it happen. So we just try to find out who you are, or just pray for you anyway. So thank you, Madeline, for being with us. Thanks for being patient. And I had the phone lines open since 9 o'clock. 2 hours, so you're doing good. Thank you for hanging in there. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Madeline tonight, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining her, God, and you know, teaching her how to you know, face where she's at and see where she's at, whether she's content, Lord, she's content but not satisfied, You can be content with where you are, but not satisfied, always seeking more. And I thank you, Lord, that you put that in her, God, desire to be content where she is, but not satisfied, knowing that there's always more. God, she never gives up on more. She keeps on seeking you for more, God, that expanding the kingdom of God in her life and showing that she can, you can take things that appear to be evil and turn those things into good. God, sometimes some things that come with us, come against us or come at us seem to be evil, but sometimes God has, a way of turning that thing that's evil into good. Joseph said, what Satan meant for evil, God meant it for good. Sometimes things come and they seem evil, and yet at the same time, you know, God's going to use it somehow or another to turn it into something good. So show her that, God. Open her up to that realm of how you can take things that are evil and turn them into something good, God. In Jesus' name, bless her. Keep her, watch over her, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And prosper her, God. Bless her. Bless her finances, God, in Jesus' name, as she gives, multiply and increase her seed. Amen. Exponentially. All right. Awesome. All right. Let's go to this caller. All right. 480-637. Who am I talking to you running from, please?
Greg from Arizona.
Well, hey, Greg. All right, man. Got into some good word last night. That's awesome. All right. Thank you for my brother, God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for recovery and restoration and knowing that your godliness, that godliness, and what godliness really is. Godliness is not just doing good things or being nice. It is doing the will of God. Sometimes we have to be rough with people, you know, or not rough, but tough with certain things. And so, you know, it's doing what God wants us to do. It's doing what God says. That's what being holy is. That's what being righteous. That's what being a man of God or woman of God is doing what God says. Sometimes Jesus was, you know, casting out devils, healing the sick. Sometimes he was taking a whip, making a whip, made his own whip, and drove out money changers. You know, it looked rough, it looked tough, but it was the will of God. He was doing it because it was the Father's will. And so we look at all these different things that we do and that heal, that Greg and I just picked the really juicy good like I've had to give words that, you know, appear negative to people. Everybody say, how can you say that? How can you talk like that? Well, if God gives it to me, I have to say what God says. So you learn to say what God says no matter what. And when you do that, then God trusts you. And amen. So we're not afraid of, you know, shame. We don't fear men, but we fear God, right? And when you fear God more than anything, then he can trust you with stuff. The more he trusts you, the more he gives you, the more you do right with it, the more he gives you. And then it starts this thing of increase and multiplication. Amen. So we seek God first. We don't, you know, jump all over the place, do all everything and anything. We do what God says. Focus on what God is saying and stay focused on that. Amen. And quit every month, I don't know, you know, and stay with what God's telling you to do. Not that we can't look around with different things, but to stay focused on the things that are important and focus our energy on that. Amen. All right, 251-229. Can we talk to you from, please? All right, I got messed up. Hang on a second. My internet just went weird. Okay, there we go. All right, Sarah, thank you for being with us. All right, thank you, Sarah. Amen. Well, thank you, Lord, for Sarah's faith, God. He's shown her how to extend her faith, how to send the word, how she doesn't always have to be out doing everything, working hard and sweating, and how she can learn how to, by faith, you know, speak the word, how faith to prophesy, how to speak over things, how to declare and decree things, and work in that realm of learning to send the word more than having to work hard at making God's stuff. You know, we don't make things happen for God.
God just needs us to agree with him on things. It's not about laboring hard to work hard so we can say we deserved it. It's like just coming into agreement with him. But I would say sometimes it's just about coming into agreement. Agreement is like saying, okay, God, I agree. You really believe it's God. You feel God in your heart that it is. You go, I agree wholeheartedly. Once you agree, it's done. There's no praying over it. There is no anything. It's a done deal. And we come into agreement with God about it. So God's showing you how to come into agreement with him about things. And when you come into agreement with him, it shall be done. Amen. It will be done. Where two more agree, it's such a matter, it shall be done. Right? So sometimes God just needs agreement. The only thing that prayer does in some situations is give us the ability to come into agreement with God. It's not about causing the thing to come to pass that God's asking us to agree with him on, as much as it is, being able to truly come into agreement with him. So prayer and the struggle of prayer sometimes is not to bring God's will to pass. It's about coming to agreement. Because all he needs is our agreement. If he doesn't have it, it's not going to happen. Because wherever two or more agree is touching the matter, it shall be done. If there's not agreement, if he doesn't have your agreement, then it can't be, done for you. He needs somebody on earth to agree with him. Right? And so learning how to come to agreement with him and learning what that's all about, that that's all he needs is true agreement, then you can find it would be a lot more simple to find answers and how things can come to pass and work out for you. Amen. All right, 608-960. Who want to talk to the refund, please? All right. 608-960. Who want to talk to the refund? Hello?
Hey, Shannon in Wisconsin.
Shannon. All right, Shannon, thank you, Lord. Shannon, God, thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right, Shannon. Thank you, Lord, for Shannon, God, tonight. We thank you, Lord, that, the more you give him his focus, to show him how to focus, especially when he's under attack, how to focus on the Lord, how to keep his eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we have to deal with the supernatural and storms and that kind of thing, like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat. It was all about focus. The minute he got his focus off, he started sinking. He came under the attack. Because why? Because he got his focus off. So when we realize that, we realize that the devil has no power over us unless we lose our focus. The only way the enemy had any power over Peter was when he lost his focus. Even when he denied Jesus later, it was all about he lost his focus. Why? Because he all of a sudden Jesus wasn't protected anymore, and the Messiah was now longer going to rule and throne. David was going to be crucified. Those two things, got him off focus. And so if we can keep our focus on the Lord, keep our focus on what God has us doing and what's going on, the enemy can't come in, and do anything to us, right? Because we as long as we're in agreement with God. When we're in agreement with God and we're walking in the Spirit, the devil can do nothing to us, not successfully. Amen. He can fight us. He can try to come against us, but he can't win. Amen. In Jesus' name. And so I thank you, Lord, for showing him about how to focus, how to stay focused, not to be knocked off. Like Peter got kind of knocked off his thing because all of a sudden, not only did he believe that Jesus wasn't going to die, he also, he's going to rule the throne of David. She rebuked the Lord earlier for that, but also, Jesus had been protected all that time. Now all of a sudden, he wasn't protected anymore. They came and got him. It's like he went into a state of shock. He got distracted, and the enemy got him to deny. So that whole purpose of that is to stay, focused. And when we lose our focus, then we start sinking. It just happens to all of us. So thank you, Lord, for focus and helping Shannon to keep his focus on you, Jesus. Sometimes there's so much that gets our eyes off you. It's so easy to do that. And to teach him how to keep his focus on you, God. Amen. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give him the strength. Give him the it takes the anointing. And sometimes the storm is raging so heavy that anybody could understand why Peter got his eyes off Jesus, because the storm was raging, man. It was crazy. But in all truth, if he'd have kept his eyes on the Lord, it wouldn't have happened. So that's we get to know the truth so the truth can set us free. We get our eyes on Jesus, we get subject to sinking. And me, you, all of us. Yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that. Give him the strength and the courage to stay focused on you, Lord.
All right, 864-313. Who am I talking to you from, please?
Walter, South Carolina.
Oh, hey, Walter. All right, Walter. All right, Walter, thank you, Lord, for Walter, God. I thank you, Lord, for that resurrection power in him, God, to show him how that we're not just waiting for the resurrection. He already knows this stuff, but just to remind you that what Jesus, Martha said, you know, Jesus died. Lazarus died. He was your friend. How come you didn't show up? And this whole thing about we thought he were his best friend. You were one of his best friends. You let him die? How could you let him die? You know, and this whole emotional trauma about how can you let someone die? And it's just a thing that Mary was a very faithful, loyal, godly person. She sat at the feet of Jesus and learned from him. But still, she went through that stuff. Because sometimes we get into these things we don't understand. How can you just let somebody sit around and die, Jesus? And you did it on purpose because we sent people to get you. And you just said, even you told the disciples, he's going to die. He's going to sleep. Yeah, you just going to let him sleep? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand. He's dead. So, wow, Jesus just let his friend die. Sometimes that stuff takes people down. It was taking Martha and Mary down. They were both. Mary was a learner. Martha was a busybody. They worked hard, you know, good worker, good, you know, if you ever want to hire somebody, hire her. But at the same time, even Mary came under that thing of, how can you let him die? If you'd have just been here, it wouldn't have happened. Where were you? And so Jesus said, you know, I am the resurrection. She said, yeah, she still misunderstood. She still was so caught up in her anxiety and her stress. You know, but yeah, I know there's going to be a resurrection then, but what about now? Jesus said, I am the resurrection now. He said, Lord, he stinketh. Yeah, sometimes things stink, and then God does something, you know, to show that. We have to connect with that thing that he is a resurrection now. He can resurrect us through anything. Death is the enemy that takes us out, separates us from our purpose, separates us from the will of God, if it's premature death. And so, amen, even then, God can take it, resurrect us back, and put us back in our purpose. And the thing that happened with Lazarus was that he became even more popular. Sometimes they would come to see Jesus after that, and they just said, and it says, they come to see Jesus and Lazarus. Wow, that's popular. Yeah, God made him popular afterwards. Amen. 720-819, who am I talking to you from, please?
Jeff and Yuki, Colorado.
Hey, y'all. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for Jeff and you, God. We thank you, Lord, for getting that understanding more and more all the time, God, that it doesn't matter what the world's doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing, that we don't get caught up into what they're doing or what they're not doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing or not doing. We keep our eyes on what God is saying, what God is doing, because what are we, you know, the whole world is together, the whole universe, because of the Word of God, but the power of the Word. I think what it says is Hebrews, that it says that the earth and everything, the universe, everything is works happens because of the Word of God. So God teaching you how to stay with the Word no matter what, right? You stay with the Word of God, what God is speaking, instead of what everybody's saying, what everybody says everybody's saying, and stay in that. That's part of the storm that we get caught up into. I know I do. I have to be careful. Even when God tells me stuff, I get discouraged by listening to people say what I got going on is not going to happen. So I don't mind hearing a little bit of it, but at the same time, I have to keep my eyes on the Word of God, because the Word of God that God gives me is what keeps me going. What keeps me, God's Word is going to come to pass no matter what, but he's looking for people that he wants to, that they will connect to that Word and stay with that Word and dwell in that Word and not get caught up in all this other stuff like, oh, the world's falling apart, you know. Yeah, but you know what? Even in the world falls apart, he's got a people, he's got a remnant of people who are going to be successful in the midst of it all and use them as an example of success in the midst of all the falling apart. Yeah, he's going to raise them up. He's going to use them like he did many of the people, like Isaac, prospered 100-fold in the midst of famine. You know, it was, God used just like the wealthy people will tell you, that they take advantage of downturns and things like that. Right. So even though we may not have the money they have to buy like they buy, but we have, but God opens up that realm of when things go down, you know, we take over things. So is the worldly people going to take over things too, but so are we. The meek are going to inherit the earth. So we keep our eyes on Jesus, on the Lord, and let him bring us through those things. And we end up not getting land and property and taking over things when everything goes down by money so much, that too, but by being meek, by being, you know, servants of God, that having the blessing of God on you. We end up, they may have bought a lot of land, but we bought the right land. We bought the land in the right place. Like Israel was the land in the right place. Israel is a picture of, in the center of the globe, God had Abraham go after that land, because that's the land. Even though you see Israel, you go to Israel, you're thinking, man, you know, before they got a hold of it, it was just a bunch of rocks and not much to it. You know, how can you call this place blessed? But, you know, it is, because it's of God. So, anyway, yeah, so thank you, Lord, for that, for showing Jeff, God, how to stay with the Word, to stick with the Word of God, and not just get caught up into everything everybody else is saying, which, you know, I listen to it, too. Sometimes, some of it, and I have to be strong. Like, I have to know exactly what God's telling me. You know, right now I'm putting out words about the market that don't look, you know, I'm months and months ahead time. I'm putting out words about it, and so it's like, you know, I'm doing that because God's trying to show himself, and I'm testing the waters, too, and so different things going on, but it's time to test the waters and get ready. When we test the waters, we kind of like when they get ready to go to war, they start testing their missiles. They start testing different things, running drills. Like, oh, today Israel tested some of their missiles. You know, U.S. tested missiles today. What is all this stuff? Well, we got to test things, see if it's going to work. Learn how to be tested and test things and see what works and what doesn't work, and make sure we're focused on the Word of God, because that's what holds everything. That's what makes everything. That's what ends up making it successful. Is God lets everything fall apart so that the meek can come in and take the earth and inherit the earth and win the battle. So thank you, Lord, for that. And you're strengthening Jeff. You're strengthening Jeff to how to stay with the Word, stick with the Word. You know, that's all of our tests. That's all of our trials. Jesus was tested with that. You know, would he go with what the Father wanted, or would he go with Satan giving him the world and the globe and all the kingdoms? Or would he say, no, get behind me, my Father's going to do this. You know, turn these stones into bread. We get tempted to do that, to challenge ourselves, to do something outside the will of God. So sticking with what God's will is, his purpose, and knowing what that is, and not going with what everybody else says they think is going to happen. Oh, God, you know, everything's falling apart. I'm going to go do this. You know, and we try to strategize just looking at things from the outward. When God knows what's going on, that's when we listen to his Word. His Word knows what's going to go on in the future. Sometimes the situation is, if things are going to fall apart around you, and you're going to prepare a table for you in the midst of your enemies, not where everything's going to be wonderful, but we'll prepare a table for you in the midst of things going down, things falling apart, and show his glory upon you by blessing you in the midst of all of it. Yeah, that by God's Word, not by what appears to be, what looks right, what seems right to man, right? But what is right with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for Yuki, God. I thank you for you, God, that you strengthened her, God, and given her the strength to not fear, to have faith, God, to know that we don't have to look to human ability and what seems right and what seems the ways that seem right to a man. Sometimes God makes a way where there seems to be no way, because sometimes there just seems to be no way. How's that going to happen? How's that going to work? We can't see it intellectually. I can't see it. But, you know, we know. We look in the Bible. We look in the Word of God. And God always makes a way where there seems to be no way. So we have to get our mind on what would that thing he would do that seems to be no way. Like we go, there's no way. I'm looking at it. I'm weighing everything out. There's no way. God says, yeah, there is a way where there seems to be no way. And God opened her up to that way where there seems to be no way. God, to give her the strength and let her hear from you, and that faith of God in her, give her faith to hear the word of the Lord and do what God is saying and not becoming afraid of things, amen, and standing in faith. Because God wants to use us for his glory. He does not want us to make it and exist. He wants to show his glory through you, Yuki, in Jesus' name, not just survive, but to show his glory. Amen. We're called to that. All right. Awesome. That's awesome word. My gosh. In other words, God can use us no matter what. Amen. I love it. All right, y'all. Anybody else want to be ministered to tonight? I'll fix the call tonight. If not, I think I've ministered to every person with their hand up so far. Yeah. I'm going to give it a minute or two. If you don't have your hand up, if I'm not calling your number, because you don't have your hand up. So you need to go on your phone pad, click one on your phone. Don't call back in because you can't get back in. No, you still can still get back in, but don't call back in. Just click one on your phone, put your hand up. If you don't have your hand up, I'm not going to call your number because I'm going to respect your right for privacy. All right? So if you want to be ministered to, get your hand up, and we will pray for you and be glad to do it. Then I'm calling to the show. It says, welcome to Blog Talk Radio. As soon as it says that, click 1 on your phone, and they'll put your hand up. If you don't want to be ministered to, don't do anything. Don't click 1. 1 puts a little hand up so you can see. All right? All right. Awesome. Give you a few minutes here, and then we'll call it a night. God's going to show ways where there seems to be no way. I keep hearing that tonight. I keep hearing that a couple of times tonight, basically in different ways. I'm gonna make a way where there seems to be no way. So if we get motivated by fear or by what seems to be no way, we can't see any way that's gonna happen. Move on that, then we end up missing out on the way that we couldn't see. Amen. You know, the things of the world, get our eyes on that, blindness. It blinds me. It can blind you easily. We have to stay clean of that, pure of that. Look at God's word, not listen to what people say, even some Christians. Amen? If God's going to make a way where there seems to be no way, I keep hearing that over and over again. Amen. In so many different realms, politically, financially, globally, word of the Lord. We're putting out some pretty heavy words right now. You know, even doing some in the market realm. Wow. So it's getting heavy. Heavy revies. Man, God's going to make a way. But there seems to be, if you listen to the market heads, people who know what they're doing, you're going to be so confused. You're going to know what's going on. They don't have a clue what's going on. God does. I tell people what God says. And because I don't know either, it makes a way. But there seems to be no way. All right, looks like that's my last caller. So I'm going to call it a night. Thank you so much for being with us. And we love you guys. Thank you for being here. We'll be here tomorrow night. Taking communion, praying over offerings. So if you've already given this week or give tomorrow, we'll be praying over that. And believe God with you to prosper and bless you as you give unto the Lord. Amen. Cool. So, all right. Good night, everybody. 11:30. Still early.